welcome to Two Chairs, No Waiting. I'm your guest host tonight for episode number 32. 32. It's just 32 right here. 32. My name is Floyd Lawson. Floyd Lawson, proprietor of Floyd Lawson's Barbershop in Mayberry, right there on Main Street. Drop by for all your barbering needs. Crew cut, all kinds of. I can give you even a Opie Taylor haircut. Yeah, honest Opie Taylor. That one's been very popular recently as a result of this podcast. I had been asked to possibly be the host tonight because your regular host, well, he couldn't be here. Yeah, well, he said he had those things he had to do, and well, he asked me, and you know, after all those guest spots and, you know, Andy Rooney top commentary he's allowed me to do, he thought I'd be able to at least try it and be here as a host. So it's really good to be here. Yeah, it's been very nice. Yeah, but anyway, I hope you'll enjoy the show. I've got some things I want to tell you about, but I was told to remind you about Weavers. You need to drop by over there. Mr. Weavers, you know, he's cheap. He's very cheap. He is a cheap man. Yeah. Yeah, but he's good. Oh, he's got some good stuff over there. If you drop by and get you some of those new video type things and T-shirts. Hey, they have a Floyd's Barbershop T-shirt. Yeah, you'd like that. Yeah, but anyway, they have a Floyd's Barbershop T-shirt. You might like that one, so drop by and see what you think. And when they asked me to host, I tried to think of things I might want to tell you. Well, there's a few stories that you may not have heard, and well, I thought I would share those with you. You may not know, but I'm married, and my wife's name's Melba. Yeah, I have a son named Norman. Well, I'll tell you, Norman and I went to, he was working on a school project. Yeah, it was a project he had to do, and so, you know what it was? It was those, you ever make them in like Cub Scouts or in school where you had to take coffee cans and fill them up with concrete and stick a broomstick in it so it makes it out like it's a dumbbells or for weightlifting? Well, that's what he was having to do. And he had finished that part. He had it all stuck together, but he had to paint it. Yeah, it needed to be painted. Well, we had a can of paint there. We're going to paint it blue. It's just a nice azure type color. And we're going to paint it. And, well, the paint can, well, it was, it didn't work. Yeah, we tried to spray with it and the paint wouldn't come out. So we tried to figure out how to fix it. And I thought, hey, I know. We'll get the paint out and just paint it with a brush. Yeah. So he said, how are we going to get it out? And I said, well, let's go back in here in the kitchen and think. So we went into the kitchen, and we were standing there, right there near the sink. Yeah. Well, Melba, yeah, I bought her one of those electric can openers. So I thought, hey, we can use that can opener right there. We'll be able to take it and open that can right up. Yes. So I took the can opener, I took the can over to the can opener, and I pushed it on there, and it clicked in. That can, it began to turn around there, and it was cutting it all right. But as it cut it, the paint started spraying out. I didn't know that. Anyway, it started spraying on Melba's walls, going around there. It went across the window, it came across, and just kept going around the house, and it came around. It was terrible. The paint was going all over the walls. There's a line there. And it came across. And it hit me. It hit me right across the face. All over my glasses. There it was. It went all the way. Oh, and there's nothing I could do. I couldn't take it off. It was terrible. It was stuck on that can over there. It just was turning by itself. I couldn't get it. I couldn't do anything about it. Well, Norman, he thought it was funny. Because finally all the paint came out of there. Well, I'm standing there, had paint all across my face, across my glasses. Well, when I took them off, he said I looked like a raccoon. Yeah. Anyway, well, that's not the worst part, because Melba came in. Yeah, she'd been out to the store. When she came in and she saw us like that, She didn't like that at all. She ran me out of the house with a broom. Yes. Oh, it was terrible. I ended up, had to sleep out in the guest room, out the guest house there in the garage. But it had curtains. There were curtains, so it wasn't that bad. I didn't know if you'd ever heard that story. That's one of my memories. There may be not necessarily one of the most pleasant ones I remember. Yeah, of course, it was actually better than, you know, Melba. Her grandmother passed away, and she inherited the heirloom piano that her grandmother had, one of those upright pianos. So, you know, I had to go get it. And I didn't have a truck, so I went to see if Gomer let me borrow his truck, and he could go with me. Well, Gomer did go, but I figured I need another, so I got Bob White. Bob White, he's another friend. Anyway, we all piled into Gomer's truck, and we drove over there. And it was pretty far away, but we left early on Saturday morning, and we headed over there to pick it up. It was probably about 30 miles over to her grandmother's home. And we went to get the piano, and Melba was very excited about that piano coming home. And anyway, the day went along, and well, we told later by the kids and stuff, because they had all the family over there, the brothers, her brothers and sisters, and, Warren, he was just young at the time, Warren. Anyway, we finally came rolling back up about 6 p.m. that evening. Well, everybody came running out to the truck to see us, and they were all excited. The piano's here. The new piano's here. They came running around and looked in the bed of the truck, and there were just pieces of piano back there. It was pretty bad. Well, Melba started crying, and they're all, "Oh, what happened, Floyd? What happened?" And I explained. I said, "Well, we got there, and we were able to back the truck right up to the porch, and we let the tailgate down, and were able to roll that piano out there and put it on the truck. But we realized we only had one piece of rope. Well, the piano was pretty heavy. We thought it was going to be all right. So we tied one end of that rope to the leg of that piano, you know, we thought it would sit there in the back. But anyway, we started back home, and as we were going up and down the hills there, up and down, we're kind of going up a steep hill. And, well, you know, that piano, I looked back. It rolled right out of the bed of the truck, and boom, onto the road there. And it was rolling there. It was tied with the rope right there to his leg. He landed on the wheels, and he just kept rolling. And I looked at Gomer and said, "Gomer, the piano fell out of the truck. It's rolling down the road right behind." And so Gomer slammed on his brakes. When he did, the piano, it slammed right in the back of the truck, and it just started flying into pieces. And well, there was pieces of piano everywhere, and it was terrible. There's pieces, it fell over, and there's all kinds of things happening. And then a piano's heavy, and so we spent the rest of the day working on trying to get that piano back in there. Well, it was all busted apart. There were strings, and it was terrible. Finally, a National Guard truck came by, and they stopped, and they were able to help us set all the pieces back up in there. It was terrible. Well, I told Melba the story, and she was okay for a while, and then I made the mistake of saying, after she calmed down, I said, "Well, you know, Melba, if you turn a piano upside down, all the keys will fall out." Thought it was an interesting observation, but she began to cry again. It was terrible. That was a day. It was a little worse than the paint can that time. It wasn't too long after that, though, I got to had to go to Raleigh. I went to Raleigh for a barber convention. You can go and get new scissors. So I had to go over there on a Friday, and it lasted Friday night. And so I spent the night in Raleigh, and I was on the way home on Saturday. And heading home, and, well, I was over, so I thought, hey, I'll take a different way back, and Barney had told me about this other way back to Mayberry from over in Raleigh, so I started back that way, and I came to this little town. It was a nice little town. It had a main street, kind of like Mayberry. It reminded me of home. Yeah, but, well, they, as I got there, I pulled up, they had like a four, well, it was more like a three-way stop. It, no red light or anything like that. It was, you had to stop. You dead-ended right into Main Street. Well, there were cars coming down Main Street, just one right after the other. And so I sat there for quite a long time. As I don't know, maybe 15 or 20 cars went by. And, well, there's finally a little bit of a gap in the traffic. So I just pulled out real quick and got into the line of traffic and was heading on back here to Mayberry. And, well, it was then I realized all the cars had their lights on. I was in a funeral procession. Yeah, that's why there had been so many cars right there on Main Street. Well, I didn't know what to do. Here I'm stuck in this. There's this line of cars in front of me and all a whole bunch of cars behind me. I must have been in about the middle. Well, we had gone along little ways, and, well, the cars in front of me, they started to gather, to stretch out a little bit. Well, finally, the cars in front of me, they turned, and I went around this kind of a blind curve, and there was a road right there in that blind curve, and they went on into that road, heading off to the where the cemetery must have been. I'm not sure. But I thought, hey, this is my chance. If I go around this curve and just go real fast on through it, then all those cars behind me, they're a little bit back. They won't see me, and they'll go on down the road to the cemetery. So I was going around that curve. I sped up and went on, and I was heading on down through there. I'd driven about a mile, I guess, and I looked up and realized that there was a whole line of cars behind me with their headlights on. Yeah, well, they had followed me, and they didn't go. Yeah, it was terrible. Well, you know, I had to get up to about 65 miles an hour before I finally lost them. Yeah, I turned on this dirt road, and they went on. And I just waited, and, that was bad, too. But, well, I hope y'all like those stories. And drop by the barbershop. I'll tell you a whole lot more when you come by, and I can give you a haircut. Yeah, there's a lot of bad hair around. I mean, people like to get their hair cut so it doesn't look like a haircut. Andy always likes to do that. Yeah, he's got class there. Andy does. Anyway, thank you all for letting me host the show, and I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, but, you know, please leave some notes for Alan there. You know, you can go to email him at floyd@mayberry.com. I gotta love that address. Floyd@mayberry.com. Yeah. Or you can leave him notes on the site where you got this at mayberry.com/podcast. Or, you know, or you can give him a call at 888-684-8415. Yeah. He'd love to hear from you. Be sure to tell him how good a job I did. Yeah. All right. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.